All right, John chapter 4. It's good to get into the scripture and into the word to know what the Lord has done for us. Amen? That's what you have this word for. You know, Paul didn't read much of the New Testament. Do you ever think about that? He didn't carry a New Testament under his arm. Now, he did carry an Old Testament, but he probably had a guy helping him because, you know, it's pretty good size. Books were pretty big in those days. But how did the apostle hear the Lord? Through the Spirit. He heard the word of the Lord through the Spirit. How are you going to hear the word of the Lord? I'm grateful for the Word of God. Paul heard the Word of God from the Old Testament. He was filled with that Word. It's important to be filled with the Word of God. It's important to have that in your mind and in your heart, to know what the Lord has said and what He has promised. That's important. Why? Because when Paul was touched by the Holy Spirit, or knocked off his horse by the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a little different from being touched. He's knocked off his horse by the Holy Spirit. Every bit of that Old Testament understanding and knowledge, every bit of, or the content, was touched and hit by the Holy Spirit, and he received a revelation that he had never seen before. Because the difference is the word of as a letter, and then the word touched by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. Amen? So you must have not just the Word in you, but you must have a relationship with the living God. And the Holy Spirit must be speaking to your heart. Amen? You must be having fellowship with Jesus. If you'll notice in Galatians, Paul went out in the desert for 3 years, and then he went off into Arabia for 14 years to have a relationship with God, with Jesus. And he was teaching him all that time. But the gospel message, as we understand and know it today, which God put in this Bible, is the power of God unto salvation. It was the demonstration that what God did in Christ Jesus was not to give you something that you had to do, but to show you that the law that was given was to demonstrate and show you that you were wicked and in need of a Savior, and that He provided one, and that that salvation was by faith alone, and He came on the inside of you to transform you and to walk out that same salvation. That was unknown. That was unknown. But then you go back through the Old Testament and you find it everywhere. And you find it everywhere. This is what God intended from the very beginning. You begin with Abraham. Abraham, God came to Abraham and said, "If you will believe, I will make you the father of many nations." Not just one nation. Huh? Well, Israel. You know, Abraham, the father of Israel. No, he said, "I'm going to make you the father of many nations." Who's that? That's us. That's us. That's you and me. That's not just, you know, Judah and Benjamin, you know, then they got separated out, and then you had the other 10 tribes which mixed with everybody else, and then, so it's still Israel. No, it's the Gentile nations. It's the entire earth. The entire earth is not just, you know, the North Kingdom and the South Kingdom. I mean, that gospel was given to us to declare the good news of Jesus. If you look in Acts chapter 17, Paul came into the city of Athens and began to look at the tomb of the unknown God, not the unknown soldier, but the unknown God. And he said, "I know this guy," because you know they had the tomb of the temple of the unknown God, because you don't want to miss one. I mean, you know, you don't want to miss one. You want to honor everybody, and just in case we didn't catch one, this is him. It's kind of like, basically, it's kind of like the unknown soldiers that the ones we missed, you know. So, but in this case, and but Paul comes along and just boldly stands up next to the thing, says, puts his hand on it. I know this guy. The unknown God you're talking about? Yeah, I know him. And he's the guy that put breath in you. And he's the guy that made the world. And he's the guy that has no need of hands, of your offerings. He's the guy who doesn't need anything from you. And he's the guy whom you can know. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for your sins. That's how he began to minister to Gentiles. Did he begin to minister to Gentiles by saying, you guys have really messed up on the law? Did he ever say that? No. When he came to minister to the Gentiles, he came to talk to them about the God of heaven and the God of the universe who wanted to have a relationship with them. Amen? And that's so powerful. That's what this Word of God is all about. This is God invading. This right here is God. This Word is God invading the world that he created because they just decided to go off and do on their own. How many of you know it? People just forget God after about 5 minutes? Amen? People just forget God. I mean, you just get used to living in your own box and your little tent and cooking out and doing the things that you do. But the power of God to give you life. And this life is going to be over in 5 minutes. Amen? This life is going to be over shortly. I'm not saying Jesus is coming now. People get weird. Yeah. 5 minutes? Better take out the roast. God's coming soon. He's coming. Your life is a vapor. Your life is nothing. Your life expectancy, your lifespan is greatly mitigated. Amen? You're not living 1,000 years. You're not living 950 years. You'll live, you might make, if you make 100, that's pretty impressive. Why? Because of sin. Sin will reduce your life expectancy. Pretty much God just kind of kicked the thing down so that to keep you out of trouble. What that tells me is somebody who's 100 years old can still sin and sin pretty good. Amen? You don't want to let them keep going. You want to give people an opportunity to know Jesus. And this is what Jesus is doing here in this book of John chapter 4. Because he comes into the town and, he's just a guy. He didn't come in on a white horse. He didn't come in on a bunch of falderal. He didn't come in with people, waving him with fans or in a sedan chair. He just walked in and sat down by the well. And by the time his interaction took place, his disciples had gone off into town to buy some Chick-fil-A. Because it was Saturday and not Sunday. No, it wasn't. I'm just kidding. Chapter 4, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did the baptizing, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So he's heading north. And that trip required him to go through Samaria. Then he comes to a city in Samaria. Samaria is an area, which is called Sychar. Now, the city that is actually, it's about 34 miles north of Jerusalem. And Sychar is actually Shechem. In the city of Shechem, you can read about in the Old Testament, especially in, there's a great story in Judges chapter 8 and 9 and 10 about the children of Gideon. Remember Gideon, right? The guy with the 300. Well, I think Gideon decided he was going to build his own army after that was all done because he had 70 kids. How many knew Gideon had 70 children, 70 sons? You should read the Bible. You know these things. But the problem is, they all got killed by the stepson. All of them, except for one. Go read it. Judges 7, 8, 9, 8, 9 and 10. Amen. See, you just don't know things, do you? Gideon had a lot of sons. All right. Now, so he's coming into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar or Shechem, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, that tells you a lot of stuff right in that verse. All right, so here's Jacob's well is in the town. And therefore being wearied, Jesus, with his journey. So Jesus gets tired. Jesus was in a body just like yours. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Is that, you know, we put Jesus on the, you know, some people, they leave him on the cross, you know, so you can see him every church service. Some people have Jesus, you know, up in heaven, and up on the, you know, in a picture of great glory. But I tell you, the Jesus that we first of all need to see is the Jesus that walked among us. Amen? This is the Jesus, Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, your the one who took all of your sins upon him, and he lived just like you. He got tired. He got hungry. Amen? He knows exactly what you're going through. He went through, well, he was never married. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God. It probably would have slowed him down. Let's put it this way, though. He invented marriage. Amen? He invented it for you because he was there at the foundation of the world and decided that Adam needed a helper. And, of course, you would say, well, I'm not sure that was such a great idea after all. Amen, some people would say. Yeah. But no, God knew. It was just you that messed it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's doing a good work, isn't he? Thank God for marriages. Thank God because you need... Otherwise, you wouldn't have any kids. Well, yeah, you would. No. See, people want to just put things in their own perspective. Yeah, God created a marriage, and then he created children. Well, we're the ones who messed it up. Amen? And it's still messed up today because people don't know what they're doing. People are playing with fire, and they don't know what they're doing. Amen? It's important that you make that commitment to a single individual as a marriage between a man and a woman. That's how God set it up. Number one, so you could have progeny. You could have offspring. You know, that's the only way to do that. Well, we got science. Well, that science doesn't help. Is the way that you have children is the way that God designed for children to be born. Amen? So praise the Lord. It's always good to have this on every CD and every tape. Amen. Just to make sure people know. And we'll find that out here that there was a problem here in this particular situation. So Jesus was weary. He sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Well, okay, read on. And there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Well, the first thing you think about during this, and you've probably heard this in umpteen sermons before, is that, well, the sixth hour, of course, the day starts at daylight. So the sixth hour is what time?
12
o'clock. Ask a guy who works outside. He'll tell you. Amen? All right. So 12 o'clock, this woman's wiping sleep out of her eyes and coming to get some water. Now, most women are probably going to be getting up to get water about what time of the day? First of all, when it's cooler. Second of all, when everybody's getting up to start doing things. Cooking breakfast, wiping your face off. But here she comes about 12 o'clock. She's going to tell you something about this particular gal. There's a woman of Samaria come to draw water. Jesus talks to her. This is a Samaritan woman. And we'll hear more about this, but it is odd. She says, give me something to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. So as we said, they're off into town. So they're not even there. So it's just him and this woman coming along. Then said the woman of Samaria, and he's sitting right there on the well. The well has got a big structure, you know, a structure around it. It's kind of like a fountain where you'd have someplace to sit right close. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew? Now, first of all, how did she know he was a Jew? Was it his nose or his glasses? Or was it, you know? So you could always tell that maybe his attire, but she recognized him immediately as a Jew, as a Jewish person. Maybe he had the tallits on, you know, with the little things hanging from his belt, you know, the little prayer articles. Then said the woman, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Well, she had theology. Or at least she had cultural, she had a handle on the cultural norms. You guys hate us. What are you doing talking to me? I mean, even to ask a man who would normally be asking, you know, a woman to, you know, get him a drink of water. Normally, in the normal case, obviously that was even odd. Is that he would not even speak to her because he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. So he would not even recognize the fact that she was even there. How about us? Do we have cultural norms that we deal with? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, Lord, you know, get rid of my cultural norms. Maybe it's even people that we normally would, as a good Christian, would not relate to or have any dealings with. Now, read that. What did that say right there? What did she say? And what was her expectation? How's it that you be a Jew to ask a drink of me? For the Jews have no, what? Read that.
Dealings,
which means we don't interact with them. We just forget them, you know. How about Christians and homosexuals? Yeah, we have no dealings with you people, you know. We have no dealings with... No, absolutely not. You have dealings with everybody. Amen? How about you? You have dealings with everybody. Why? Because everybody needs the gospel.
Yeah.
Everybody needs the gospel. You're just you're just a newspaper. You don't care who picks you up. You're just a dollar bill. You don't care who picks you up. You just do what you do when you arrive in a situation. What is the dollar bill? Does the dollar bill care who is using it or handing it off? No, the dollar bill just is along for the ride. Amen? The newspaper is just along for the ride. Some people use newspapers for a lot of different things. Didn't really occur to me when I used that example, but everybody knows, you know, newspapers get used for a lot more than just read the news. Amen? And you know what? But you're available, aren't you? Because you can just be carried from place to place to place. You're just like a dollar bill. You can be carried from place to place to place and utilized for any number of things. What are you going to allow the Lord to utilize you for? Amen? Are you present at every circumstance? Present at every situation? Or are you just a kind of whistle in the dark past some of them, you know? Well, if I could just get myself out of this, you know, if I could just get myself beyond this. So your prayer is, Lord, let me be used. Let me be used by your Spirit in every circumstance and every situation. Lord, let me not resist the move and the unction of the Spirit. The unction is basically the Spirit moving you. The unction of the Spirit would be the Spirit actually kind of pushing you along. Okay, quit pushing, quit, stop. You know, somebody behind you kind of pushing you in the small of your back and to go on in and participate in a situation that you normally would not. So that's your prayer. Amen? That's your prayer. Because Jesus would walk into a place, Paul would walk into a place. Because the Holy Spirit was on the inside of them, they didn't care who it was. Now, Peter had a little bit of trouble early on, you remember. You know, Paul wanted to get on him because... He wanted to, remember, Paul said, I wanted to confront Peter to his face because he was ministering to a bunch of the Jews, and then all of a sudden when the Gentiles came in, he withdrew himself. But he'd already agreed. He'd already agreed to the gospel going to the Gentiles, but when those Jews came in from so-and-so, he kind of took a step away and from the Gentiles he was ministering to, began to, you know, fellowship with those Jewish brothers coming in. And he said, I confronted him to his face because he was to be blamed. You know, that hypocrisy that says the gospel is only for or to protect yourself from, you know, your local buddies, you know, who have not yet come around to the idea that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody. And that your ministry to everybody, not to receive their sin, but to declare the love of God for them. People need to know about the love of God. Amen. They're really not too interested in you telling them what they're doing wrong. You ever figured that out?
Yeah.
Let's go back to this story. All right. So here it is. So her sense is, what? He's already got her attention just by showing up to the conversation. You know what? You could probably have that effect too. Just by having that conversation with somebody who wasn't expecting it. Amen? Hey, praise the Lord. Beautiful day. Can I pray for you? What's going on? Some people just want somebody to talk to. Amen? Some people just want somebody to talk to. God opened a door for Jack, you know, when he put those, I don't know how much relationship you had with those guys before your, you know, the Dallas doo-wop singer buddies, you know, before the recent reconstitution of the group. How much time had you had to spend with them over the years?
That's not that much.
Not that much.
Not until the last 13 years.
And God opened a door. And now Jack has an opportunity to be Jesus. Amen. To those, yeah, maybe, I don't know what the rest of the guys, what their level of relationship with the Lord is. But you just, God puts you in a place, maybe with people you have known for and haven't known for many years, and He brings you back together. So just be prepared and be ready. Always be ready to be used. So those people that you had no dealings with, just open the door. Open your door and be prepared to have that relationship, to let the Holy Spirit use you. Amen? So Jesus answered her, verse 10, and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." And she said, "What?" And the woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." So she's calling Him on this water thing. "And the well is deep. From whence then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well?" Kind of give him a little jab because he's a Jew, see. "Our father Jacob, who gave us the well," the Samaritans. "Hey, we got the well. We're in Samaria. We got Jacob's well. You know, what do you guys got?" Of course, they had the temple down in Jerusalem. But the whole point is, you know, she's kind of already starting this conversation. She says, "You guys have no dealings with us, and here I'll let you know why." She's going to start, you know, kind of poking him, you know, with these issues. So you can tell that it's kind of like, just different groups of people who always have trouble with one another. Amen? Hatfields and the McCoys, you know. The Palestinians and the Jews. Which one are y'all? Amen. I mean, which thing stirs you up? You probably can figure it out, you know. Which thing kind of gets your goat or gets you wound up, you know, when somebody says something. "Oh, gosh. You know, don't even talk about that."
Husband and wife.
Husband and wife. I'm glad you mentioned that today, sitting there next to your wife. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, that's all true, isn't it? Amen. All right. So the woman says all that and gigging him. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" They're all here. "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of the well,'" he just pretty much ignored her. He kept going on his conversation. "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." How many know that's the Holy Spirit unto salvation? That's the Holy Spirit that comes in and dwells. And that's the fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life. Now the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, you know, comes afterward. But this is the well of water, the living water that Jesus gives to bring you into the family of God. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. In other words, you're going to be satisfied. Are you there? Say yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Say. Now, I don't thirst. That is, I don't thirst for eternal life, for trying to find life. Amen? In this life. That's the issue. Are you trying to find life in this life, or have you drunk the drink?
Have you
drunk the drink? You're done. You're done with this life. That's what this water is. You will never thirst again because you're already full. You're already filled. Mm-hmm. You have no needs. Now, I'm not talking about just outward physical needs. What I'm talking about is the fact that your heart and your mind are by and large at peace. When you run into a wall, always backing up everything is when the trouble comes and it looks like there's no way out, you know that there's always a way out, and Jesus is showing you that way out. Is that I'm always cared for. I'm always taken care of. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Do you walk in that?
Yes.
That, ooh, man, she's fixing to jump up out of her chair. Amen. So you're walking like that, and you can tell the difference between that and somebody who doesn't have that. Amen? You can tell somebody who's just, they're just in trouble all the time, and they just can't get past it. Amen? And so many of them are Christians, are those who have believed, but they don't have that confidence. Amen? Because it comes from the Holy Spirit, but it also comes from fellowship with the Lord. It's not just the Word that saves you, but it's the fellowship of the Lord that saves you. Amen? And that is changing you. Out of this life. Getting this life out of you. Amen? Because, I mean, you wake up every day in the same dumb body, right? Sorry for the kids in the room. You wake up every day in the same body. You wake up every day with the same face. Amen? And you just look at it, you, and say, "Dear Lord, yeah, what now?" You know? But you have that confidence welling up on the inside, this well of water springing up into everlasting life. And every day that water is like, my daughter-in-law has got this fountain out the back window of her house. They just bought this house and they went upstairs and they looked out the master bedroom windows, and there's a water feature, you know, in the HOA, or, you know, in the subdivision. Behind their house, every house kind of goes back to it down the road. And this long water feature, and theirs has the fountain just right outside, out there, you know, out beyond the fence. And, I mean, she was just like, "Jesus, there's the fountain. There's the fountain of life. There's the water of life. It's just like, wow." You know, and that's what you have. Every day you look out that window and you've got that.
Amen?
Amen? Every day you look and you have got that fountain springing up into everlasting life. Amen? I'm happy. I'm having a good time. Why? Because I'm not looking at the world. Yeah, the world's got, you know, stuff, but I'm looking at the fountain. I know whom I have believed, and that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In other words, all those things that I gave everything to him, and some days it looks like he dropped the ball. Well, I'm not counting that. Because I don't believe that. I believe that he is with me and in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Are you just quoting those things day after day after day, the Word of God on the inside of you? That's what you should be.
What is the first thing? I know he is able to.
You know what? I can't even remember. You're going to have to look it up. I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, and it's, yeah, and sadly I don't remember that the chapter or verse on it. But what it is the Word is in, yeah, that the promise is in me, you know, which is most important to me, you know, is that I know that's who he is and that's what he's done. All right, now down here, a well of water springing into everlasting life, verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." She's going to call him on it. Okay, you have nothing to draw, well's deep, you say you got this water, give me some. Sounds good. I like your pitch. Like Karen, you know, like the guy's pitch, and, you know, okay. Here's my contribution. She wasn't ready to write the check yet. And we'll find out why here in just a minute. She's pretty sharp gal now. By now she knows how to look at a horseshoe. All right.
2 Timothy 1:12.
Read it again, just so we know that you're telling the truth.
For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Mm-hmm. What day is that?
The day of the Lord.
Day he comes back? Amen. Against that day. In other words, all the way till the day he comes back, he's going to keep that promise. He's going to keep it going. I'm not going to be put on the back burner. What did you say, 2 Timothy 1:12? 2 Timothy 1:12, all right.
And there's an old hymn that I just Googled.
Mm-hmm.
But that verse is an old hymn written by David Whittle in 1883 titled, I Know Whom I Believed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the one I've got in my head, but...
It says, I know not why God's wondrous grace he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeem me for his own. But I know whom I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the day. I know not this saving faith to me did impart, nor have believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing us of sin, revealing Jesus through his word, creating faith in him. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air.
Amen. I know whom I have believed.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So good, so good, so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know. Everybody say, I know.
I know.
See? It's important for you to say those things. You know, one little aside here, that if you'll go through the New Testament, you will see many times that the apostle will use the phrase, for we know. But it's assuming, it's an assumption that everybody's with me in my, in the course of my conversation. For we know that all things work together for good. In other words, he's bringing you along with the same concept and the same idea. Not just kind of saying, well, I know. He said, for we know. So we're all together. We're all walking together in the same promise. We all have the same promise. You have the same promise that I have. Let's walk together with it. Amen? I know whom I have believed. All right, now let's look at verse 15 again in John chapter 4. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come here. Well, I'm sure that was something. And the woman answered and said, I got you now. I have no husband. So, and he said to her, You have well said. Yeah, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands. We're back off to that thing, you know. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. And that you said truly. They nailed her on that one. All of a sudden, whoa. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Apparently he was right. Now immediately in verse 20, watch what happens. Hey, y'all ever done this? Somebody catches you all of a sudden. It's like these talking head shows on Sunday morning. Somebody asks them a question, they just go off. You ever seen the presidential debate? How many kids do you have? Well, over in India, there's 500. You know, I mean, they just kind of walk off the other direction. Just given a chance to speak, they'll just take it off in some other direction. And here, woman that says, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Huh? And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So he just told her to go get her husband and get saved. And all of a sudden she's off talking theology about, you know, worship, where you're supposed to worship. People will do that to you. You start talking to them about the Lord, they'll talk about anything. They'll talk about anything. They'll move off into anything. See, you just need to be prepared by the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, just give me wisdom. Amen. You're a gospel machine. Do you know that? Do you know why you're here? Anybody know why you're here? That's all. That's the only reason you're here. Amen. Is to declare the good news of Jesus. I mean, otherwise you might as well just be in heaven. Yes. I mean, you know. Amen. That's why you're here. Remember, Paul said, you know, I'm a straight betwixt two. I just as soon go home and be with the Lord, but be here for you is better. It's better for you if I remain around. Is that true of you? Yes, it is. It really is. It's better for you to remain around. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I won't get off into marriage and say it's better for you to be around. You know, some people just leave. Yes. Some people just leave real easily, or just, you know, just trying to make some amicable decision, you know. Say, well, once the kids get grown, we'll go our separate ways, you know. Just, you know, make a very practical decision, you know. Kind of thing. Well, you just stole from your kids.
Yeah.
I realize so many other things, like Dan was talking about, having crazy things happen. But I mean, so many people just do it in such just a matter of course. They just, you know, we go, well, we're done with this, let's move on. No, you've just destroyed your children. Well, my kids are grown. What are you talking about? No, you've destroyed them totally. You've destroyed your children because they have no. They now have three families. You know, why would you do that? Why would you do that? You know, get along with God. And then Christians do this. Yeah. This is Christians that do this. Amen? No. Amen. God said, remain.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because, I mean, those kids now have nowhere to go. They got to go five places on Thanksgiving. Yeah. I mean, they got to be, I mean, you know, they have no continuity in life. Well, let them grow up. Well, fine. Yeah, but yeah, it's your fault. You did it. You know, so don't blame somebody else for not agreeing to it, because they didn't have any say in the matter. All right. So here this girl says, our fathers, verse 20, worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, ma'am. Probably just like, I know it got translated that way, but I said, woman! I don't know that he quite came at it that way. Ma'am, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, just drop that one right now. We'll just move on from that. Okay, she's starting to get a little testy, so he's going to kind of ramp up. Okay? You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. In other words, you just took yours kind of as a knockoff kind of thing, which is true. They had a few, the Samaritans, you know, worshipped up on Mount Gerizim. They had a similar, had a temple of some ilk up on Mount Gerizim. And so but they did not follow all the rituals of the temple. And in the Old Testament, the rituals of the temple is how you worship. This is how you worship. And so, first of all, you guys have just gone off and done your own thing to thumb your nose at the Jews and complain about them being mad at you. He says, but, everybody say but. I like it when everybody says it, but. The hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. That's what He wants. So He doesn't want Gerizim worshipers. He doesn't want Jerusalem worshipers. He wants spirit and truth worshipers. So Jesus is indicating right now that there is we are in the midst of a change. We had this. You got this. This is what's right. But this is changing. Things are moving. Things are shifting at this moment. Right now, the time that I'm talking to you, things are changing. But the hour comes, and now is. when the true worshipers, those who truly know the Lord God, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, something they haven't done before. For the Father is seeking them to worship Him. God is a spirit. Now, okay, let's further define why that is. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him. It's very interesting. I mean, he's going into deep theology as far as she's concerned. For God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When He shall come, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak to you am He. And upon this, you have the people come in at the right moment, people, or at the wrong moment. I mean, He had her right there, you know. And then all of a sudden, His disciples come up and marveled that He talked with the woman. Again, this is odd. Yet no man said, what seek you? Or were you asking directions? Why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come and see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. In the meantime, while His disciples prayed or desired Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, has somebody brought Him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, remember the ladies off into town, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Okay, so He's talking to His disciples, right? And they have come along. And why are you talking to this lady? They're just kind of like you and me would be just to come. What are you doing? You know, they're kind of the crew, you know. They're coming along. Hey, you know, we're traveling with Jesus. And all of a sudden, He's just always saying stuff that just blows them away. Amen. But again, you have to remember, they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is operating by the Spirit, and He is showing them as He walks and as he carries on His ministry of what it is to love people and to give them what they need. But then you'll realize that later, but all the questions that they're always asking Him are the questions like Jesus just like kind of like, oh Lord, can we just get, Father, can we give them the Holy Spirit now? He just wants to give it to them now. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? But He can't give it to them now because they're not eligible. Because Jesus has not yet died. Jesus has not yet been crucified and risen. So they can't be empowered by the Holy Spirit yet. But can you imagine? He's got these guys following Him around for 3.5 years. And then even at the end of 3.5 years, they all bolt. They all run, you know, at the end of the thing. Right? And of course, you know, Peter still, you know, he whips out the sword and cuts the guy's ear off in the garden. You know, so they're still dealing with things the exact same way. But when the Holy Spirit comes, what happens? What changes? He said, in fact, it's so important that He says, don't leave town until you be endued with power. You guys are scary. Last thing you guys need to be doing is, I mean, they'd just be like zealots, you know, the Jewish zealots. They'd be going out or the Muslim radicals. They'd be going out and killing people for not believing in Jesus, right? But no, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you and changes you and gives you and empowers you and causes you to have the same power and authority that Jesus has, not only over the powers of heaven, but over your own will and over your own body and over your own mind. That Holy Spirit has raised you up to everlasting life. So here these guys are, who brought Him food? And Jesus is telling them, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You know what? That became the will of those, that became the meat of those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus rose that evening, when he came into the upper room, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I believe that's this fountain of living water. This a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what that was. It's when he breathed on them. But he said, now, this isn't all. So don't leave town. Wait till the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. So you need two things. You need the Holy Spirit as a well of water springing up into everlasting life, then you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit to empower you to minister in this world. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by John. That, at that moment, that's when the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it can happen to you. Some people are baptized in the Holy Spirit when they come up out of the water of water baptism. It's not a hard, fast rule, but it does occur. So Jesus, again, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's what he did when he walked into town. He was ready for any opportunity.
Amen.
To bring anybody to the Lord. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Isn't that you? Whenever you walk into the office, whenever you walk into town, whenever you walk in, anywhere. I mean, you walk into any... Remember, he told the disciples, when you walk into any house, bless the house. You bless the house when you walk in. You have the power of God. You are God's presence coming into a house. Jesus was God's presence coming to love the. I think I just lost something here. Okay. God's presence coming to love the Samaritans. Amen? Because he got this one woman, and then she goes and gets everybody else. Verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Amen.
Amen. That's you, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's you. Verse 35, say not you. Don't say this. There are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, look up. In other words, well, it's coming. We've got time. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which whereof you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. You receive the reward of their labor. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said to the woman, they said to the woman, now we believe not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days, he departed from there and went into Galilee. For Jesus testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Amen. So powerful is that this is who you are. Amen. And what you're doing is you're preaching the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everybody, is that I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed.
Amen.
Let's look over, I'm going to look over quickly here at John chapter 3, one chapter over to the left. All right. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave... Who did he love? The Jews. No, the French. The Americans. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, so that, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, read that again for the first time. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, like some people think, but that the world through him might be saved. But rather, not to condemn us, but to save us. He that believes in him is not condemned. Whew. Awesome. I'm not condemned.
Amen.
I believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world. He that believeth not is condemned already. So, what's the issue? Believing. What's the issue?
Believing.
Because he has not, but why is he condemned? Because, and it reiterates it, because he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God. And now he's going to describe it. And this is the condemnation. This is Jesus talking himself. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Let's stay in the shadow.
Let's stay down here in the shadow. Because I don't want to come out because, you know, they'll find my deeds.
Because it's their religion was all about deeds. So that's why people hide from the gospel, because their religion in their head is all about deeds. What you did right and what you did wrong. Why God's mad and why he's coming with a big stick. That's what people believe. But Jesus said the only thing people are running from the light because of, they're looking at their own deeds rather than looking at the love of God. For everyone that does evil, verse 20, hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So that your deeds now begin to change. Your deeds now are wrought in God rather than wrought by the flesh. But isn't that powerful to know? And Jesus recognized this from the very beginning. Is that people are running because they believe that all their deeds are based on their salvation is based on what they didn't do, or what they failed to do, or what they did evil. But the issue is not for you is no longer doing or not doing. The issue is believing or not believing.
Amen.
And if you can share that with somebody, you know, and said you can know the King of Heaven, the King of the Universe. Now some people they just don't even have a clue. They're just watching football and, you know, or racing cars or, you know, doing their job, whatever they're doing, and trying to make a living. And because everything else with respect to God and the universe and the bigger picture has been to them just, they don't even want to hear about it. Amen? You been anywhere somewhere like that where you just don't want to hear about it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I mean, people, it's just things you don't want to hear about because there's so much controversy. And I can understand that. I can understand people just don't even want to go there. You know, hey, I've got my life is bopping along. I don't need any shakeups. So the problem is that that's demonic. That's a demonic idea. Is that I'm going to just go along and everything will be fine. It won't. You have to know the Creator of heaven and earth. If you don't, you're condemned already. It's not because you did or did not do bad deeds. It's because you're already condemned. You're condemned for the foundation of the world. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes in him is not condemned, but he that believes not. And use that scripture. I mean, we use John 3:16. Let's use John 3:18 as much as we use the other. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's your issue right there. That's the break point, right? That's the break point. So that's your ministry. Amen? What's your ministry? Introduce people to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Not complicated, is it? Oh, God's good. Father, we just love you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise him. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you've come to dwell in us by your Spirit. And the power of God lives on the inside of us, changes us, causes us to be vessels fit for your use, causes us to be walking in your presence. And we love you and we give you the praise. Father, cause us to be that vessel. Cause us to not shy away or turn away from it, but cause us to have a boldness. Father, we pray for boldness. We pray for boldness. Boldness that just rises up from the Spirit, and we don't even know why we even thought to walk into that place or open our mouth to say such a thing. We thank you, Lord God, that we do what your Spirit leads us to do. Father, do in me what your Spirit commands me to do. Make me willing and obedient. Make me willing and obedient. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that you just get me up and you push me in the right direction. And I'm walking that way because I'm not afraid. Because I know that you have cared for me and you have met all of my needs. Father, we thank you for it. Father, we thank you for it. Father, just we're not praying to put us in a situation where we're just scared to death and don't know what to do. We're thanking you with the same unction and direction that you give us, that you give us a boldness and an authority that we never have experienced before. And we just give you praise for it. Say, Father, thank you for boldness. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Thank you for boldness. Thank you for boldness. Thank you for boldness that I'm not afraid of boldness.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that I'll preach this same message to my friends, my other fellow believers, and let them know that the Holy Spirit is living in them to declare the gospel. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. God, you're good. Father, you're good. You're good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, God's having a good time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you're blessed. I am. I'm always blessed.
Yeah, preach. Awesome.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? That's a miracle.
Amazing.
That's just a miracle.